this song, H.D. Stafford. His family was on a cruise, his wife and daughters. The ship sunk, they all died. He wasn't with them. He made his way to the site where they drowned and wrote this song. It is well with my soul. In just a few minutes, this gospel meeting will be history. Been good to be with you. Been good to be with my good friend in this work. I haven't known he and his family for many years. Appreciate all your hospitality, your words of encouragement during the meeting, and I look forward to being with you again sometime. Good to see in the audience tonight one of my great granddaughters, Macy, and some of her friends. Good to see you. If you're visiting, we're glad to see all of you. I want to talk for just a few minutes about the topic on the board behind me. It's your choice. I'm reading as a basis for the study Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. For the gods which were the fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Watch this one. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that a great text? On choose ye this day whom you'll serve. There are a number of things we need to think about. When you think about choosing, God made man at the creation a creature of choice. We're not a machine, and that God pulls a lever and we go that way, or another we go that way. We have a free will. We have a mind. And God expects us to use it and make the right decisions. Let me catalog for you briefly tonight some choices that we need to make. The first one we need to make, that is, we need to choose life over death. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19, Moses penned that God has set before us life and death. And then he said, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. That's a great need, you know, to love life. Peter said that in 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. Not everybody loves life. We all do. Having been made in the image of our God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And so when you think about it, it's your choice. Choose life over death. But secondly, we are encouraged to choose God over idols. Not everybody does that. When you think of idolatry, it was the downfall of God's Old Testament people. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 7, they were guilty of it. And these gods are described throughout the pages of the Bible. Sometimes the people got so bad they talked to a stick. Can you imagine God's people talking to a stick? That's idolatry. And in 1 John 2, 5:21, John encourages us to keep yourselves from idols. That's a great statement in the book of 1 Kings 18 in verse 21. You know what that says? 1 Kings 18, verse 21. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know what that means? How long halt ye between two opinions? That means get off the fence. Make up your mind. Some people never make up their mind. Straddling the fence. Then he said this. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, that's a false god, then follow him. And the people, they were not able to answer him, not a word. I don't blame them, do you? Having been on idolatry. And so we need to choose the true God over idols. But as you think about making good decisions, it's your choice, by the way. I urge you to choose God over the God of this world. Little g. You know, that there's a God of the world. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, it talks about that. The God of this world is the devil, Satan. Been around a long time. He's sly, slick, deceptive. A lot of things the Bible says about him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 6, when Paul lists all those seven ones, you remember? He said, there's one God the Father, is above all, through all, and in y'all. We are encouraged to choose that God, the God Almighty, the God that created us. As Paul wrote the Athenians, he talked about the fact that in this God we live and move and have our being. It's your decision as to which God you want to serve, the God of the Bible or the God of this world. It's your choice. You have to make the decision. But again, as you think about it, it's your choice. We are encouraged to choose rock building over sand building. You know what that's about? Come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Now I want to begin reading with verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. You'll have to decide, by the way, whether you're wise or foolish. Which are you, by the way? Which built his house upon the sand. Rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, when you think about this little reading, the story of the wise man and the foolish man, what's the difference in the two? The choice they made in regards to building. One made the choice to build upon the sand. Think about building a house. Building a house on sand, the rains would come and wash from beneath and wash out the foundation and fall down comes the house. And then there's a man that represents a man that hears the word of God and does nothing about it. Can you relate to that? And then the wise man builds his house on the rock, that the same rains and wind and all that comes and beats against that house and stands because it's founded, built on the solid rock. Question. What are you building on, by the way? Are you a rock builder or a sand builder? It's your choice. You'll have to decide. But again, when you think about it, it's your choice. The narrow way or the broad way. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, he talks about that in verse 13. Let's begin reading in verse 12. Therefore, all these, whatsoever you that men should do unto you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And then he encourages us, enter in at the straight gate. You know that? You know how that word is spelled? It's not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. It's S-T-R-A-I-T, which means it's restricted. It's like the Strait of Magellan. Remember that in fourth grade geography? Do you? Never back that far. But anyway, it's like a ship in a narrow body of water that has difficulty of maneuvering. That's what that word straight is. So it says, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Then he says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Question. Which one of these describe you? Are you a person who's chosen the narrow way or the broad way? And you need to know where they go. The broad way. broad way is the way of the many. Wonder why? It's easy. It's like drifting with the tide. The narrow way is restricted. Few are they defined. The Lord's people have always been among the few, remember? Like Deuteronomy 7:7, fewest of all people. 8 souls saved by water, few people. 1 Peter 3:21. Now, it's your decision. Nobody forced you to choose these ways. They're out there. But I want you to be aware of where they lead. The broad way leads to destruction. You want that? I hope not. The narrow way leads to life. That's eternal life, life beyond the grave. So, it's your choice. The narrow way or the broad way. And let me ask, which have you chosen, by the way? But there's something else I want to talk to you about. Number 6. It's your choice. The Lord's church or denomination. The word denomination means a division. And there are many of them. There are thousands and thousands of denominations today. There's only one true church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew 16:18. He is the head of that church. Colossians 1:18. He is its Savior. Ephesians 5:23. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:47, the same were added to the church. Now, each of us have to decide. Out here in this big denominational world, you have to know the marks of identity so you'll make the right decision. And if you don't know those marks, you'll have to decide anything. And so it's imperative that you make the right decision choosing the Lord's church over human denominationalism. Most people have not been taught the difference. We have. I hope you make the right decision. But not only that, when you think about it, it's your choice. It's heaven over hell. We're told by some people that there's no such thing as hell. There is. The Bible talks about it in detail. Are you aware of that? In Matthew 25:30-46, when it describes those on the right hand and those on the left hand, remember all that? Representing those who had obeyed and those who did not obey. And when the verdict is rendered, Matthew 25:46, you know what that verdict says? Matthew 25:46. And these, talking about those on the left hand, representing those who never obeyed the Lord, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's your choice. You can choose to go away into everlasting punishment or eternal life. By the way, which have you chosen? Which one? You'll have to decide. And by the way, you'll have to make this decision while you live. You can't wait until it's all over. Too late. Right? It's your choice. We're told today that that punishment won't last forever. It's just a one-time thing. It's all over. You're kind of annihilated. You know the Bible doesn't teach that? It's everlasting. What's that mean? It lasts forever, day in and day out. It's your choice. You have to decide where it's going to be everlasting punishment or life in eternity. You know, the spirit never dies. You know what physical death is? The only thing that physical death is that the spirit slips out of the body. The body's dead. That's what James says, didn't it? In James 2:26. Remember? The spirit is on. And on, and on. Think of that. It's your decision, heaven or eternal punishment. Last but not least, it's preparation or not being ready. You remember the little story in Matthew 25 of the wise and foolish virgins? He said the kingdom of heaven is like that. Five were wise and five were foolish. Some took the lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They're going to have a wedding. Wise and foolish. Which are you, by the way? Which one of you decided to be? Wise or foolish? What's the difference? Here's the difference. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Whether or not you know this, the oil represents preparation. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. That's important. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Nothing wrong with sleeping, I don't guess. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. You know what that means? You ever trim a lamp? Probably not, most of you. It's back in the days of oil lamps, kerosene lamps. And those lamps had a wick that sucked down in the oil. And those wicks would become charred. And they'd take something and trim them, cut off the charred part. That's what that means, trim the lamps so they burn more brightly. See? So that they rise and trim the lamps. Now you know, okay? What about the foolish? The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. By the way, you don't have any oil to spare. You don't have any preparation to give somebody. Our lamps are gone out. What's the problem? They did not make the proper preparation. But the wise answered and said, not so. That makes a good sermon, by the way, brother. Not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, buy for yourselves. You have to make your own preparation. It's your choice. Now watch this one, verse 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Listen carefully to these next words. And they that were ready went in. Question, are you ready? And one of the saddest statements in the Bible, and the door was shut. Isn't that sad? And so far as we know, that door was never to be opened again, all because of the lack of proper preparation. It's your choice. And by the way, all of the preparation that's made for eternity has to be made here and now. The time will come in which it'll be too late to decide. Are you aware of that? One of these days the Lord may say, as he said to the rich farmer, this night is thy soul required of thee. This night. It's a matter of choice. Preparation or not ready. How about you? The Lord will return. When? We don't know. He said he would. John 14, 1 and 2. But at that day and that hour knoweth no man. Mark 13, 32. He could come forward and get out of this building, couldn't he? We have no way of knowing. The Bible doesn't say. It doesn't make any difference when he comes. You know what makes a difference? Let me read it again. And they that were ready went in. That's the only thing that's going to count. They that were ready. And so we urge you to choose being ready over not being prepared. It's important, isn't it? Are you a good decision maker? We urge you to be that. Having heard the word, you need to believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Without faith, we cannot please God, Hebrews 11, 6. Jesus said, For except you believe that I am he. You know the rest of that? You'll die in your sins. You must believe. Sometimes we're told that's all you have to do. I wish I could tell you that. But it takes more than that. Repentance is required of everybody, everywhere. Acts 17, verse 30. Which is a change of mind that results in a change of your life. That all? Not quite. We must make a confession. And let me point out to you that it's not a confession of your sins in becoming a Christian. Some people say that. It's a confession of your faith. Like the eunuch said in Acts 8:37, I believe. Believe what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Did you make that confession? Have you made that confession? It's your choice. And then our Lord said, he that believeth and. You know, words are important. And. That means something else is coming. Repent and. Believe and. Believe and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38. Mark 16:16. Baptized into Christ. The only way you get in. Galatians 3:27. Baptized into the death of Christ. Romans 6:3-4. That's where he shed his blood. Right? Baptized to have your sins washed away. Acts 22:16. Does baptism say? It does. Not by itself. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism doth also now save. Have you been baptized? For the right reason? Into the right thing? In the Lord's body? 1 Corinthians 12:13. Baptized into one body. You know what the one body is, right? It's the church. That's how you get in. And then you must live righteous and godly in this present world. Titus 2 and verse 11:12. Or, there's a possibility you have to decide that I obeyed the gospel one time, but I fell away. I'm not faithful. I'm not steadfast. I'm not doing what I ought to do. I'm not being who I ought to be, and I want to straighten all that up. You can do that tonight. By repenting of those things for which you're guilty, confess them in prayer unto God. We stand ready to help you do that. Like Simon did in Acts 8:22 and John in 1 John 1:9. Two words say it all. Trust and obey. Invite you to come while we sing the song.
When we walk with the Lord.